Our scripture reading this afternoon, Psalm 119, verses 73 to 80. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 73, let us hear the word of God. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation, there is often a difference between what we need and what we want, between what we need and what we desire. You hear it in children already, don't you, so often? I'm starving, Mom. I need a snack. Or one little boy will say to another one, I need a new bike. Or teenagers, I need to have that car. But older ones too, so often we say we need to go on a vacation. Or I need to be successful in business. Many things that we think we need, that in reality are things we just desire. Because if we really need something, it means we will die if we don't get it. Also in spiritual matters, that's true. A great difference between what you want and what you need, and how blessed you are if you want the things you need according to God's holy word, because that's really the only way we can determine what our spiritual needs are, is if God's word tells us what they are. And then there are basic needs according to scripture that you and I need. I'll give you a few examples. I read in scripture that I need to be born again. John 3 verse 3. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I read in scripture that I need to have faith. Because according to Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I read in scripture that I need to repent. I need that repentance because the Lord Jesus says in Luke 13 verse 5, I tell you, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. I read in scripture that I need a holy life. I need holiness because the apostle writes in Hebrews 12 verse 14, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So when we let scripture tell us what our needs are, then we know for sure, this is what I need. And then we can say to the Lord in our prayers before Him, oh Lord, I want these things. I desire these things because Scripture tells me I need them. Gospel needs, true needs. Without these things, we will die. Eternal death. If you read Scripture, especially a Psalm like 119, you find that so often the psalmist is praying for certain matters. And as you read Psalm 119 and you hear the language of the servant of God, a well-established child of God, I might add, a person who is on the way with the Lord for a long time already, and when he begins to pray, and the Lord gives us that word that we may begin to pray after him. And then we hear what some of those basic needs are. Let's consider some of those this afternoon from Psalm 119. The portion we read, I'm going to focus mainly on verse 73. The middle part, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. I will look at verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. And verse 80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Those verses in their context will be our text this afternoon. The theme is learning to know our needs. First of all, our need for understanding. Secondly, our need for mercy. And thirdly, our need for a sound heart. Learning to know our needs for understanding, for mercy, for a sound heart. The need is expressed like this. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And a biblical view of understanding is a person who knows I need to understand the Word of God. Give me understanding. Make me understand it, Lord. Teach me. And in Psalm 119, the psalmist goes to the source. In verse 130, he says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. That means there's understanding available for people like you and me. Simple people. Who don't understand everything. Psalm 119, verse 144, give me understanding and I shall live. In other words, without this understanding, I am dead. And that's also true. Unless we understand the Word of God, we are dead. You know, it's like before the Lord works in a person's heart and in their life, then they hear God's people talk sometimes and they say, I just don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand that kind of language. And it shows that we all need that understanding because the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's that understanding we need for spiritual discernment. And also after receiving grace. It's not as if once you understand it, then you're all set. Oh no. That's an ongoing need. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. That I may learn how I am to walk in this world. Give me understanding that I may know what I must do and what I must leave undone. The psalmist needs understanding because he knows he has to know how to please the Lord. And unless he understands that, he cannot. And he's come to sense his lack of understanding. Have you? Come to know that you need this understanding? Well, the psalmist came to know it when he was reading God's Word and he didn't get it. He didn't understand. And before that, he didn't even realize that he didn't understand. His eyes were blind, and now the Spirit has come and opened his eyes to see that he is blind. Because that's what that lack of understanding is, spiritual blindness. And from the verse, you could see that he learned it when he was reading in the book of Genesis of his own creation. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Verse 73. And that sunk home. God has created me. In a miraculous way, he fashioned me in my mother's womb. And when he read that in the beginning, God created man in his own image. Genesis 2 verse 27 and verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And then he read in Genesis 3 the results of disobedience. But Adam has disobeyed the revealed will of God and has plunged the whole human race into eternal destruction. And now he needs to understand, how can that be made right again? How can I, who was created in the image of God, perfect and upright, and now I'm a fallen creature, how can I be made right with God once again? And maybe you have learned it this way too. As you are reading the Word of God and you're listening to the sermons, you keep hearing about this one way, the only way, the one name, Jesus Christ. The Word of God has revealed the will of God in His Son. The psalmist needs understanding so he may know God's commandments. He realizes, I cannot save myself. I can't restore myself into that relation with God again. I not only cannot serve God, but the reason I can't serve Him is because I will not serve God. And when you hear the summary of the law, you are to love the Lord your God above all, and your neighbor as yourself. And you set out to do that. And you find out very bitterly, don't you, that it is impossible. Impossible. So you see then, the need for understanding, the need for outside intervention. God must make a way for me. And you learn that God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His Son a ransom, His life a ransom for many. And hope was kindled. Hope began to flicker. And probably, you had to stumble and fall many times, trying to work it out on your own. And the Spirit opened your eyes and you see, I can't. There is no hope in me at all, but there is hope for hopeless cases in Christ Jesus the Lord. There is help for helpless ones in Christ Jesus the Lord. There is cleansing blood for guilty sinners in Christ Jesus the Lord. There is everything for those who have nothing spiritually in Christ Jesus the Lord. And what happens when he receives this understanding, you see it in verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. When other believers see this new believer, this sinner who has begun to understand, they will be so glad. Because they've been praying for him, you see. Have you been doing that too? Praying for sinners in the congregation. Praying, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see the emptiness in himself and the fullness in Christ. Open his ears that he may hear the gospel and believe it and rest alone in Christ Jesus. Open his heart, Lord, to receive the hope through the preaching of the word. When those who fear thee see me, they will be glad. And you know why they will be glad? Because they know your hope is in the Word of God. That's what it says. They will be glad because they know I have hoped in thy Word. Not hoped in anything I have done. Not hoped in some experience I may have had or some opening in prayer I may have had. No, I have hoped in thy word. And they know, the true believer knows, that when you hope in God's word, that's a hope that maketh not ashamed. That's a hope with a solid foundation. They will be glad because they know from experience what the Lord Jesus said in John 8 verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free. through hope in the Word of God. That is a hope that's based on a person named Jesus Christ, of whom Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you may learn of Him. You may receive understanding of Him through the Word of God. Pray then for that understanding. Give me understanding, O Lord, that I may know Thy commandments, and that other believers will be glad when they see me, because they know I hoped in Thy Word. Paul writes in Romans 15, verse 4, whatever things were written before time were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Do you have that hope in Christ Jesus already? You may. You may receive that hope today when you hope in the Word of God. A second need that the psalmist says that we all have is a need for mercy. He expresses it in verse 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. The merciful kindness of the Lord, oh, that's that precious Hebrew word that speaks of the loving kindness, the mercy of God. The loving, merciful kindness of God as He condescends to know and to fulfill the needs of His creatures. It speaks of God's faithful, covenant-keeping love and care for His children. That's the merciful kindness we need. It's not just something we desire, it's something we need, that covenant kindness of the Lord toward His people. That's what you need for your comfort. When you find no reason in yourself for God Almighty to show kindness to you, then look to His covenant promises. As it says here, according to thy word unto thy servant, and by faith cling to God's promises. Not to what you promise God, but to His promises. And say, Lord, that's thy word unto me. You find it in Jeremiah 32 verse 40, for example. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will not turn away from them to do them good. And you may plead with the Lord, pleading on His promise to let His merciful kindness be for your comfort. That's not presumptuous. No, when you are on your knees as a sinner pleading on the promises of God, bringing God's word back to Him, that's faith in action. That's according to thy word unto me. Let thy merciful, loving kindness come to me. In verse 77 again, let thy tender mercies come unto me. And there, the psalmist uses a different Hebrew word that speaks more of the compassions of God. This word is often used in connection with the forgiveness of sins. You find it in Psalm 79, verse 8, for example. Remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies come speedily before us. Let them come before us. Nehemiah 9, verse 28. They did evil again before thee, and many times thou did deliver them according to thy mercies. Always the tender mercies of God, that compassion. A compassion based and signed in the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says of Him in Romans 3 verse 25 that God has set Him to be the propitiation, the mercy seat, the means by which sins can be and are forgiven. See, when you pray for God's tender mercies, and you do so because you are faced with your sins. And see, sins is what causes separation between me and my God. And as long as that separation is there, it's just like being dead. The psalmist is praying for the tender mercies of God to be his comfort, the merciful kindness to come to him. And he asks for spiritual quickening, to be made alive, to be restored again into God's favor. Why? Why do we need mercy? Why does the psalmist need comfort? Well, he learned to know his need through his bitter life experience. The Lord had come with troubles. The Lord had come with hardships. The Lord had come with trials. And we're not told in this psalm exactly what the nature of that trial was, but we know the result. You can see it in verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. He confesses that whatever the Lord does is right. In afflictions. Not when things are going smoothly and all is fine and dandy, but in the greatest trouble. He acknowledges the Lord makes no mistakes. Under the greatest trials, he acknowledges God's justice. I know, he says. Not just I think, or I have heard somebody say it, but I know, O Lord, thy judgments are right. It's just like Eli in 1 Samuel 3 verse 18. When Samuel told him of God's coming judgment, he says, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. But David says more. Not only does he justify God, not only does he say it is right what the Lord does, but thou art faithful. And in thy faithfulness, thou hast afflicted me. In thy faithfulness. And that faithfulness is a divine attribute of God. Jeremiah sings of it in Lamentations. Great is thy faithfulness. And now in that faithfulness, the psalmist says, thou hast afflicted me. He has come to see the troubles in his life, the trials, the afflictions as coming from the hand of his loving Father. In thy faithfulness, O Lord, thou hast afflicted me. That's what happens when we receive understanding. So it happens when we receive mercy, we begin to see the faithfulness of God also in afflictions. That's the loving kindness of the Lord to see it and confess it. He learns by experience what the apostle writes later in Hebrews 11 or Hebrews 12. The chastening yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them who are exercised thereby. Then you may say, Lord, in thy faithfulness, thou hast afflicted me. Show me thy mercy, because I am so prone to abuse afflictions. I am so prone to turn away from the Lord in afflictions rather than toward thee. Let me love the rod, O Lord, that strikes me, because it is in thy faithfulness that thou hast afflicted me. He prays for mercy. He knows his need and what happens when he gets it. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live. For thy law is my delight. Can be in times of affliction. And some of you know this very personally too, that it can seem like there's no life at all. No peace in your heart, no comfort, no joy in the gospel. Only darkness, heaviness, sadness, or even worse can be that bitterness and anger and rebellion come and rear their ugly heads, and that you say with Jonah, yes, Lord, I do well to be angry. Let's see when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes through the Word of God to see then what you are doing, then you realize, don't you, your need for the tender mercies of the Lord, because you realize that without His mercy, you are so dead that you feel like there's no spiritual life in you at all. And you're not alone. Then the psalmist knew it too. And that's why you need to pray with him, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me so that I may live." And you show that living by returning to the Word of God. He says that thy law is my delight. And when you read the word law in Psalm 119, you can say, "Thy word. Thy word is my delight." Even coming out of afflictions, through the tender mercies of the Lord. The psalmist also knows his need for a sound heart. And we'll consider that after we learning to know our need for a sound heart. It's expressed in verse 80, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes." The heart here is the inner man. Comprehending of your mind, your affections, your will. "Let my heart be sound." We sometimes talk about sound doctrine. That's the word that's used here. It means complete and perfect. It's used in Genesis 6 verse 9 of Noah that he was a just man and perfect in his generations. The sacrifice in Exodus 12 was to be a lamb without blemish. That's the same word that's used here for sound. Joshua 24 verse 14, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." Take all that together, perfect, without blemish, sincerity. The New Testament word is blameless. 2 Peter 3 verse 14. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." Let my heart be sound. Let my heart be blameless in thy statutes. Those statutes of God which He has given to mark out the way as God's roadmap for His children's lives. Let me be sound in thy statutes. Let me have a holy walk of life. And he's not only referring to an outward religion, but he wants his heart to be sound, out of which flows that outward religion, out of a sound heart. Have you come to know your need, my friend, for a sound heart? Have you come to know by your own bitter experience that what Jeremiah says is true? In Jeremiah 17 verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." See, when you come to know that, then you begin to pray sincerely, "Lord, give me a sound heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I need a sound heart in the Lord's statutes. I need a soundness that will stand before God, that will be able to withstand His scrutiny, that will stand." Because Jeremiah says in the next verse, 17 verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart." When the question comes, who knows the heart? God says, "I know it. I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways." And when you realize that, God searches my heart, He knows what lives in there, and He's going to give me according to my ways, to my doings, the fruit of my doings. Oh, then I need a sound heart. Because by nature, my heart and your heart is oh so unsound. We need the Holy Spirit to renew it, as David prays in Psalm 51, "Create a clean heart within me, O God. Renew a right spirit in me." Psalmist knows, just like some of you know very well, that even after times of great love for the Lord, When you have been revived and you have joy in the Lord Jesus Christ and there's been growth in grace and you love Him more, that even after such times you can discover such wickedness, such sinful thoughts and feelings that are still there. read in the New Testament, Romans 6 verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. O Lord, pray it. Let that be said of me too. Then I shall not be ashamed when I stand before God. He knows what happens to the proud in verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed. He knows the wicked end. The end of the wicked shall be shameful. But I, he says, will meditate in thy precepts. When he is meditating in the Word of God, and when you meditate on the Word of God, and you discover by God's standard that your heart is so unsound, then you also will discover in that same Word of God that there is one who was and is 100% sound in heart. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all soundness. He is all sound, and He is the giver of sound hearts. Hearts that are sound in the Lord's statutes, blameless before God. As you learn, there is no good in me. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but all good is in Christ Jesus. And a sound heart is a heart that is knit to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, that clings to the Lord Jesus and has Jesus clinging to it. And for that heart, it says in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What will happen when by God's grace and through faith we receive a sound heart? Then you're going to seek out like-minded people, like-hearted people. They will come to you too. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. And what begins to happen then is what you read in Psalm 66 verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. Do you still believe in communion of the saints? Being one in Christ, speaking of these things together. Does it still happen? When you speak together of your needs, and you find someone who actually understands what you're talking about, you say, do you need that understanding too? That I'm not the only one? And you need that mercy too? Desperately need it? And do you know that you need that sound heart too? Speaking of your needs and also speaking together of having found in the Lord Jesus Christ all that you needed. Because He is the overflowing fountain of all good, as we confess in Article 1 of the Belgic Confession. He overflows with understanding, He overflows with mercy, He overflows with soundness, and He gives it out of free grace. Because everything that the psalmist prays for here, he receives by God's grace. That's because it is by God's grace that he's praying, first of all, and also because God hears the needy when they cry. And then you can tell others. It's all by grace. You don't have to add anything. You don't have to pay anything. You can't undo it. It's all by God's grace. And that grace is free. And that grace is worked even in the year 2008 by God's Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ. And that grace is based on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that grace can be yours too. Today. I may be so bold this afternoon as to say it's yours for the asking. Oh, you say, now you sound Arminian. Is that right? Well, then the Lord Jesus must have sounded Arminian too. Because do you know what he said in Luke 11, verse 13? And I will close with that. You can look it up at home. Do it and pray it. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Amen.